Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you very much for that. You're going to be glad that you did, too. You're going to be glad you tuned in, because we got Bill Dunkelberg with us. Dr. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, currently the professor of economics at the School of Business and Management, and he's also the chief economist of the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, and as you know, he polls their members every month to talk to them, to ask them about how things are going in the economy, and they give him their answers. And he compiles all that information and creates a report, and he's gracious enough now for a number of years to deliver it to us once a month. And he's here to talk to us about that, and we're going to do our FedWatch show while he's here. We're going to talk about what the Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Board, is doing today. Those 19 folks down there, I guess they're in, where are they, Bill? Are they in New York or Washington? They're in New York, aren't they?
I think they're in Washington. They always meet in Washington.
Do they meet in Washington? Okay, I don't know why. Yeah. Why would I not know that? I guess I keep. Of course, the New York Bank is the big one.
You and I haven't been invited to the meeting, so we don't.
I know that. That's exactly right. Bill, welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Let's do the trends report first. What's the news from our favorite folks out there?
Well, the news is that optimism has slipped a little bit more, not a whole lot, but kind of in simple terms, for 11 of the last 12 months, the optimism index has been below 100, but not far below. So what it's been telling us is what we've seen is that the economy is slowing. Growth would be running around 2 to 2.5%, which is about where we are. So the small business guys and gals out there have accurately anticipated the slowdown in the economy from the first quarter last year, and there's no dive going on here, so it's not, there's no recession in the forecast, if you will. But certainly things are a little slower than we'd like to see.
Are we experiencing a negative trend or a settling in? What do you think?
Well, I think we're settling in. I mean, all the expansions we've had, when you have expansions the last 9-10 years, which we have, you can't fit very many into history, which is good news. But
right.
Let's say the last two expansions that we had, which were very long, 9-10 years long, you have hot spots and you have cool spots. And this is a cool spot, I think, in this third long expansion. We're in the sixth year, and it's just a slow spot where you kind of adjust. We have a few kind of shocks to the economy we have to deal with. One is energy prices keep taxing away a lot of our purchasing power, and the other, of course, is we're digesting a major adjustment in a lot of markets in the housing industry. And those two things are enough to take a point or so off the growth rate, and that's kind of what we see. You know, we'd like to be growing at 3. We're growing around 2. And once we digest these couple of problems, we'll probably head back toward 3.
Bill, in 1969, early 70 was the first recession that I was part of. I was working full time, going to school full time, going to college, and I was writing. I remember writing a paper about the 69 recession, and what caused it, and how we were going to get out of it, and that sort of thing. And I was actually employed in those days, and it affected my employment. I remember being impacted by that recession, and feeling the weight of it. And of course, then we had a pretty strong one. Actually, a couple of back to back there in the mid 70s. And then we had two in the early 80s. Then we had one in the early 90s. Then we had one in the early aughties, just the beginning of this decade.
Right.
But it seems to me that
we had one.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to me that everyone since then has been less and less of a negative impact. And so here's my question: have we gotten to the point where what we're experiencing right now if we had the fundamentals we had in the 70s, we'd be in the middle of a recession right now. If we didn't have just-in-time inventory, if we weren't communicating as fast as we are so we could make sure we don't make mistakes, buying and building mistakes, are we experiencing maybe what has now become a downturn instead of a recession?
Well, I think you characterized correctly some of the benefits of the progress that we've made. Better information means better decisions, and then when we collectively make better decisions and we don't get the volatility in economic activity that we used to see. Another important thing, though, that we shouldn't forget is that the Fed and the Congress aren't making the mistakes they made back in
those
days. And they're the ones who caused a lot of major disruption in the economy.
Right. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Dr. Bill Duckenberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He and I will be right back. We've got a lot more to come after these messages. Here's that wild and crazy mad dog Englishman, Joe Cocker, to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is that's the original one from almost 10 years ago. We started that one, and it's still growing, still lots of good stuff there, archives, thousands of archives of past interviews. And by the way, don't forget all you've got a number of different ways, a handful of different ways you can listen, and you can podcast those interviews, you can RSS them, you can download them directly into your iTunes or any of your media management systems. You can stream the thing through by any MP3 player that you got, so check all that out, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and we got a blog there too on that site. Of course, askjim.biz, that's the knowledge base for small business. It's Small Business Answers Now, and it's the only one of its kind on the planet, so check it out when you get a chance, askjim.biz. Bill Duckenberg is our guest. He's all over our websites, and he's our good friend. He's chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, has been now for decades, and has been polling small business owners about what they think about the economy. Bill, you gave us the news previously that the economy, that small businesses are sort of they're retrenching, they're settling into what may be a little bit of a lull in the economy. How much do you think of the challenges that we're experiencing right now in the marketplace, how much do you think that is that high oil prices, high gasoline prices, are attributing to that, or contributing to that, I should say.
Well, certainly it's making a contribution. I mean, here's the way I used to kind of look at it. Every dollar change in the barrel price of oil is like a $5 billion tax change. So, mm-hmm. You know, go back to 1998, we're at $10 a barrel. Now we're at $60. So let's see, that would be $50 increase times mm-hmm. $5 billion would be a $250 billion tax hike. So we're sending $250 billion to Chavez and the Middle mm-hmm. East, and every year, that's a big tax. It's a tax
bite.
It slows things down and works its way in the system. Now, we also continue to try to become more energy efficient. So, I mean, compared to the 30 years ago, we use about half as much oil per dollar of GDP as we did 30 years ago. So,
that's one of the most important, Bill, that's one of the most important things I think you've taught us since you've been on this show is how much more, and I gave a little talk yesterday on global warming, and I mentioned your name. I said Bill Duckenberg taught me this, when something you'll never hear Al Gore and the Kyoto crowd say, and that's how much more efficient the marketplace is today with regard to petroleum per dollar of GDP.
Right.
And we don't get credit for that, but we should. But is that another reason why what we're experiencing right now is a slowdown, a 2% growth, whereas you know, if we weren't more efficient with petroleum, we might be in a full-on recession right now.
Absolutely. Back in the 70s, the same kind of a price hike proportionally would have buried the economy.
Yeah.
We just couldn't have held on to it. But now, because we're much more service-oriented, the kinds of manufacturing we do is much less energy-intensive, and we're so much more efficient in the use of energy. when we do use energy, well, you know, we're just not as much affected by it as we used to be, which is good news.
Right, absolutely. I saw where there's a report, and I'm trying to find it. I thought I had it in front of me here, but there was a report from the global science, a group of global scientists, showing how much the carbon the United States puts into the air, how much CO2 emissions the United States puts in the air. We are the leader by far. The United States is in total, but you combine India and China, and they're almost at our level.
Right. And
but here's the
getting rolling.
Yeah, well, exactly, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Per capita increase, United States has a minus 9.9% growth.
Right.
China has a 40% growth increase, and India a 47% growth increase.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect.
That's the number, isn't it?
Yeah, those economies, you know, have taken fire, but they, of course, don't use the same new technologies we do, and they have a lot of old industry, and they're power hungry. You know, one of the problems China has, of course, it's massive in size, and they try to control everything from Beijing. What's happened is that out in the provinces, without asking permission, because it takes too long to ask permission, that's the problem with having one
right.
person run the economy instead of 300 million, they have built tons and tons of electrical generating plants that are just horrible polluters. I mean, they're
right.
just terrible. But they need the electricity, and so they've done it. And so they, if they keep that up, of course, they're going to be major contributors to pollution, however you want to measure it.
Is there any good news in your report?
Sure. I think the good news is, of course, the employment numbers stayed strong, which I really
mm-hmm.
like to see. It's puzzling, probably in some ways, but we've seen it now for the whole year. We've had a year of slow growth, which arguably we grew slower than potential, which means unemployment should be rising. It's not rising. It's actually been falling. So we're
mm-hmm.
looking at the 4.4, 4.5, and our measures say that the market's still tight. We have nearly 30% of our firms raising worker comp because they can't find the employees that they want. One in four has a job opening they can't fill.
Which is another reason why we don't need minimum wage increase.
Yeah, exactly. The government trying to set prices and wages has always been painful for the economy, right?
It's not a good idea.
Are
you the person who told us that there may be as many as 2 million jobs going wanting in the United States?
I would believe it, but it wasn't me who said that.
Somebody told me that. I thought it was you. Stand by, Bill. We'll come back. We're going to wrap this up and talk about what the Fed's going to do today with regard to interest rates, today and in the future. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg, we need your websites, please.
How about nfib.com or .org?
Yep, that's a good one.
And smallbiz.org. And, of course, your famous website.
Well, smallbiz.org is where they can find your reports. And
right.
also, they're really easy to find there, smallbiz.org. You can find them on nfib.com and .org. Takes a little bit longer to look. On my homepage, look for business economic trends. I think economic reports, I think, is the title of it. On our homepage, check it out there. It's right there at the bottom of the page. So check that out. You can find it there, the most recent one from Bill. Bill, by the way, when's your book coming out?
you like asking me that, don't you?
I do. I'm going to keep asking you until you write the thing. I want to see that book.
Yeah. Well, if I move into retirement next year, semi-retirement, I'll have time.
But you're never going to retire from us, though, right?
Absolutely not. No, I'm going to retire from so much teaching and grading and then to spending more time on small business.
I want you – well, that's good news for us, not for the students. But I want your book as soon as I can get it, so let me know what I can do to help. What's the Fed going to do today? What should they do?
Well, I think the Fed will do nothing again. Their situation has gotten worse in a way. I guess their measure, the PCE core, personal consumption expenditures deflator. You know, it's over 2, but it's staying pretty low, so it's been doing okay. But the other core measures haven't been, and of course the headline inflation rate's ridiculous. So, you know, there's clearly a lot of inflation pressure. And if you look at our numbers, the percent of firms raising prices has done nothing but rise since December, from 8% then to 18% in our most recent survey. So there's inflation pressure there. On the other hand, as we pointed out, the economy's been sluggish for 12 months. So, you know, on the one hand, you should raise rates. On the other hand, you should lower rates. And so I think they'll split the difference again.
Will the word stagflation be used today?
Well, I used it in my report. I put a little teeny S in front of it.
Remind the audience what stagflation is.
Well, stagflation was, you know, back in the early 1980s when we had 15% inflation and 10% unemployment. That's a terrible world to be in, and we were there for a while, but we got out of it, thank goodness.
Prices were going up, but business wasn't going up.
Exactly. So you got inflation, but you got unemployment. And so how do you get out of that? What kind of policies do you follow? And, of course, at that point, the Fed said, look, we can really only do one thing, and that's we can do inflation. So the Fed under Volcker did inflation, and they did a great job. And after 1983, it was a sweet ride.
Yeah.
So the Fed, I think, will sit tight, and they'll wait and see which one of these measures gets worse.
But how do we reconcile, Bill, how do we reconcile low unemployment, 2 million jobs going wanting, record stock market, high inflation, the economy softening? I mean, that seems like an improbable combination, doesn't it?
Well, it is in a way, but again, you know, it's all relative now. I mean, high inflation now is pretty low compared to what it was in the early 80s, it's not really that high.
What is it this year, 4%?
Well, yeah, on the headline CPI, it's running a little over 4, and it's going to be worse with the oil price, with the gas prices rising. But you know, so really it's been not that bad. And, of course, on the employment side, even with a slow economy, we have a 4.5% unemployment rate. So the problem is really small. You could characterize it as stagflation, but I said with a small S. It's really an economy that in most of years in our past we'd love to have had.
I mean, that's a good way to. We have to put all this in perspective. Doesn't the Fed want to lower rates? Wouldn't they like to see their inflation come down so they could start thinking about lowering rates and helping the economy
probably
a little bit?
Yeah, they'd probably like to do that. It's not clear how much they can help, but as you pointed out, the stock market's still doing really well, especially the Dow Jones, and of course. One reason for that is that, you know, if you look at the Dow Jones companies or the S&P companies, they get half their earnings from overseas now. These are truly global companies, and overseas is doing much better.
Europe's going to have a pretty good year, aren't they? Aren't they on the uptick?
It looks that way. I mean, you know, France and Italy are sputtering a little bit, maybe. But look, France got a new
president
who is much more capitalism minded than his predecessor,
and U.S. and U.S. friendly
country. So, you know, so they could really kind of pick up. So I'd say the bets are good for the rest of the world, which is good for our exports.
I won't miss Chirac, will you?
No.
I will not miss Chirac. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
And I agree with you. I think the Fed will do exactly what you said. You've lurched uncontrollably to another truth. Thanks, Bill. I'll see you next time.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Bill Duckerberg, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. You know all about that. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.